In Michigan, a health benefits company requires that its workers do not smoke. While many Americans resolve to kick the habit for New Year's, WICO Incorporated instituted a new policy that took effect on January 1st. It will fire employees who continue to smoke, even if they do it at home. WICO says it doesn't want to pay for the health care costs associated with the habit. When four employees refused to take a test to prove they no longer smoke, they were dismissed. With us now by phone is founder and CEO Howard Wires. He's in his offices in Okemos, Michigan. Thanks very much for being with us.
Mister, how are you today?
No, thank you. Why is it that habits outside of the workplace are so important?
Well, this habit that we wanted to eliminate was all part of, our health initiative here with our workforce. For a number of years we've promoted healthy habits here, and it's been part of our program. And then early in 2003, when I found out that I could legally eliminate the habit, then I moved forward to do so. And gave my employees plenty of notice in doing so.
Yes, I should point out this was all phased in over, a couple of years?
It was phased in over 15 months to the employees. Prior to our announcement to the employees, we quit hiring. That was back early in 2003.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you made it, against company policy to smoke, did you anticipate that you might have to fire a couple of people?
Well, yeah, we knew that. I knew that there would be employees. When we announced it, we did have opposition, within the employees. I expected it that people would, because we were changing. It was a change in the workplace, and I knew there would be negative reaction to it, and there was, but it only lasted for a while. During the first half of 2004, there was talk about it, but most of the controversy comes from the outside. We don't have any going on inside here now.
How much more does it cost the company to, in terms of health insurance payments, if employees smoke? Or let me put it another way, do you save anything if you say none of our employees smoke?
Well, we can't evaluate that right now. I've been in this business a long time, and I know that it's one of the habits that is creating is a major factor in the cost of health care. I think everybody realizes that. And what it's done here, we can't quantify that, probably won't. But what we try to do here, what I'm trying to do is, as it relates to not just to the person, the employees themselves and improving their vitality and so forth, but just, looking at our health care costs, we're satisfied with where we're at. Our health care costs here have stayed pretty level for the last 24, 25 months, and we want it to continue that way. And we just feel that we have to continue to work internally to improve the health status of our employees if we're going to maintain the cost of our health program. We just don't want it bumping up on us and creating a frustration that it does, many of our clients. They're very frustrated with health care costs today.
Mm-hmm. Were any of the employees who either left of their own accord as a result of this policy or ended up, declining to take the test? I mean, I'm sure there are a lot of people who've been with your company a long time, helped make it what it is today.
Mm-hmm.
The prospect of having to let them go over this policy must have been difficult.
Well, it was, but we discussed that probably. The one employee who here was the longest, maybe 14 years, we discussed it within 30 days after I announced it, and we openly discussed our views on it, and this person said she was opposed to it, and I said, well, you have a decision to make over the next 13 or 14 months what you want to do.
Hmm.
And you'll have to make a choice. Is it tobacco or is it your job?
What was the decision?
She chose tobacco.
Let's get some listeners involved in the conversation. Our number, 800-989-8255. And email is totn@npr.org. And we'll talk with Chad. Chad's with us from Lincoln Beach, Oregon.
Hey, how's it going today?
Okay.
I just wanted to know how it was affecting the workplace morale as far as not being trusted and, a lot of other things like what they eat, how they drive, other factors in their life, how it played out.
No, we don't talk about that. at all, and our morale here is very good. I mean,
I was just wondering because it seems kind of strange that you would, you know, what they do on their own time, you would be concerned about as long as they're productive in the workplace.
Well, we're concerned about the cost too. You know, I mean that's
so you
I mean, as an employer,
it's a good trade-off.
You know, well, as an employer, you know, and you have to be responsible because you have to protect the entire company and the bottom line and the paychecks of the employees that you're concerned about costs, and that's an area that we don't want frustrating us like it does many employers today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, healthcare costs not only frustrate employers, it frustrates employees. You know, many employees today are mad because their paycheck's being eaten up by healthcare costs. And employers are mad about it because it's eating the bottom line. And my approach to this is we need to start focusing on the root cause of healthcare, you know, where the root cause is, and we got to look at the health status of our employees and how do we improve it. And my question to my employees continually over the last 10 years, what's wrong with being healthy?
Right.
Well, thanks for the call, Chad.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Okay. And Howard Wyers, you were quoted by Reuters News Service last week as saying that employees with weight issues would be the next targets. Later, you said this was not an accurate quote.
It was inaccurate. As many conversations I've had on that in the last week, that was the only one that misquoted me. We don't talk about the weight issues. Our focus here now in our program here at the worksite, we have a full-time coach that works with our employees on lifestyle choices, and our focus now is eating healthy and exercising. We need to get people involved.
The Reuters story quoted you as saying, we have to work on eating habits and getting people to exercise, but if you're obese, you're legally protected.
Well, in Michigan, you are. You know, people, they are. That is a true statement. In Michigan, you know, the people who are obese, you know, are protected. Tobacco users are not.
Let's get another caller on the line. This is Barbara. Barbara's calling from St. Louis.
Hi.
Hi.
I want to congratulate you on doing this with your company. I think that these days it's pretty much socially acceptable to say to somebody, you can't smoke in here, or why don't you smoke? It's so unhealthy for you. And they should do the same thing with obesity. Why don't they go up to somebody and say, you're so fat, quit eating. You know, get outside, run, do some kind of exercise. And I hope
that
the
Barbara,
country...
Well, Barbara, do you think that should cost you your job?
No, but if they do like this guy did and they give the employees enough time and say, okay, you know, and starting in 2 years, if you're not within healthy range of weight, you may lose your job.
Mm-hmm.
Look how many diseases are associated with being overweight.
Hmm. Barbara, thanks very much for the call. We appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And as you mentioned, Howard Wyers, in Michigan, obesity is a protected category?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir.
So if it was not, would you have thought about doing the same thing?
I don't know what I would have thought, but... I just hasn't been something that we've discussed at all. I mean, and I haven't. I know that you know, we have people on our staff that are overweight and obese. And, you know, we have programs in place. They're voluntary programs to assist them if they want the assistance. And in all our programs, you know, we have a very active assistance program for smoking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we would pay for people who wanted to quit the habit. We provided classes on campus. We paid for classes off campus. We paid for hypnotists or acupuncturists, whatever they felt was needed to assist them in breaking the habit. We wanted to do that. And, you know, we have other... habits that are unhealthy in our workforce, and you know, we want here to have programs in place to assist them.
All right, let's see if we can get one more caller in on this conversation. And joining us now is Robin. Robin's calling from Lansing, Michigan.
Hi, Neil.
Hi.
Thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure.
I live in Lansing, Michigan. Okemos is a suburb of Lansing. I've been a smoker for 20 years, and I realize that is not a healthy habit. However, my sick days have been very few and far between. I've been an excellent employee. I'm conscientious, diligent, thorough, and I just think it's very unfair that employees are being dismissed that also might have the same health record as myself, the same work record as myself, but are being let go. I mean, what about the what about the people who imbibe too much alcohol? Is
a problem?
Yeah.
Yep. I'm sure this is not the first time you've heard this, Howard Myers.
It's a problem.
Yep.
And as far as group health plans, I was an administrator of group health plans. All of, the rates are all the same.
Howard Myers, did I hear you say, obviously alcohol is a problem. Would you test for that?
Would I test for it?
Yeah. I mean, alcohol like tobacco is legal to buy.
Yeah, we don't test for alcohol. We test for drugs and tobacco here.
Well, alcohol can be seriously debilitating, to say the least.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if alcohol was creating a work problem, we would address that issue.
And how is tobacco creating more of a work problem than alcohol? If you're not testing your employees, are they coming to work? Maybe imbibing? Are they imbibing on their lunch hour?
Robin, I think we have to accept that Mr. Wires knows his company better than we do, and if he says it's not a problem, we have to go along with that, since neither of us have tested any of those employees either.
Yeah.
But thanks for the phone call.
Thank you.
And Howard Wires, we wanted to thank you for your time today. We appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Howard Wires is the founder and CEO of WICO Incorporated, and we reached him at his office in Okemos, Michigan. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Joining us now is Kirsten Gerringer of MarketWatch, a financial news website. She's been following the conflicts between company health policies and workers' rights, and she joins us now from the Dow Jones studios in San Francisco. Welcome.
Thank you.
I wonder, is WICO Incorporated moving into dangerous territory by requiring its employees not to smoke?
It certainly raises all kinds of privacy concerns. There is traditionally a firewall between the Human Resources Department and the hiring and firing process that goes on. Health insurance is supposed to be private, and carving out certain behavioral health issues that would be disqualified from that raises a lot of red flags. Among them, what's next? Obesity. These are things that are very visible,
mm-hmm.
easy to test for. There are a lot of loopholes in state laws that, because of the at-will employment arrangement, that gives employers a lot of power to begin with to determine who and how and under what conditions they will employ someone. So, for example, you know, obesity could be on someone's radar. It is a major public health concern. It's also kind of a byproduct in some ways of the reduction in smoking rates as people give up cigarettes. You know, sometimes they pick up other bad habits. It's part and parcel of being human. What's next? You know, ACLU concern is that perhaps family health history or people who ride their bikes to work, since that's a safety concern. Will it have a chilling effect at the water cooler? People may be unwilling to talk about what they did on the weekends in terms of normal social discourse for fear of the employer learning of some sort of perceived high-risk activity they did that may result in their being terminated. I mean, this raises all kinds of questions.
Mm-hmm. Are other companies restricting workers on the basis of their health habits?
Only a handful at this point are looking into states where they can get away with this. Basically, Union Pacific in several states now has imposed sort of a hiring freeze on smokers. They ask it during the recruitment process. But very few are going as far as to fire employees for it. I called Wegmans, which made the number one spot this year in the Forbes best firms to work for,
mm-hmm.
and Wegmans has no plans to do this. A lot of places, of course, outlaw smoking on the premises. You can't smoke during the workday. It's not, you know, it's not a covered benefit, for example. But they will. They have no intention of going after people who smoke or singling them out or penalizing them, essentially, except to say that they will offer support for those who want to quit. Of course, it's in companies' best interest to try and get their health care costs down, but at what expense to the individual's privacy? Also creates a concern in terms of going the opposite direction. Suppose all these people who are fired go to other places and are turned down because they're smokers. Where are they supposed to go to get health insurance?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Doesn't your next employer usually ask us, so why'd you leave your last job?
Yeah, what was the reason for your termination? And if you give it and all of a sudden you're at another employer who has a similar policy, we are creating another social situation where we're paying for people anyway. You're going to pay one way or the other, whether it's, you know, a boosting of the uninsured rate because people can't get a job that'll give them health benefits. I mean, this is sort of, you know, a problem because we are relying on employers in this country to provide our insurance for the mm-hmm. bulk of our insurance, and the individual policies surely will price a lot of people out of the market for having these habits.
We just have a minute or so left, but I did want to ask if the people who were dismissed at WICO have any legal recourse.
At this time, the ACLU says they really don't. No one has filed suit. I think there was a lot of due diligence that went on there before this happened. Where the rubber meets the road, though, will be if some major companies, Fortune 500s with deep pockets, begin to do the same thing. Then I think we'll see consumer rights groups, smoking rights groups, organize and try to present some sort of a class action if they have any sort of ambiguity in the law that would allow them to do so. I mean, recovering alcoholics, recovering drug addicts all have provisions that say so long as this person isn't using on the job, they need to have some accommodation. You cannot just single them out because mm-hmm. of their status for something they did in the past, you know, some sort of health concern that they may have into the future because of something they did. So that's where I believe this may get confrontational. But at the moment, not so much.
Kristen Gerringer, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Kristen Gerringer has been following the story for MarketWatch, a subsidiary of Dow Jones in San Francisco, and she joined us from their studios in San Francisco. In Washington, I'm Neil Conan, NPR News.